Ohio business machines and sharp copiers when it comes to Browns fans. Their loyalty for our team, it's unconditional.
Unconditional.
Make your number one pick the preferred document services provider of the Browns, OBM, with OBM's exclusive guarantees and their designation as the
only.
It's the only one. Sharp Platinum level
only
service
one.
Provider. Go find another one. You won't.
Can't. Impossible.
In this town. They've made unconditional fans out of all of their customers. Only OBM has all the X's and O's for your office when putting together a Sharp products playbook for your business. Call 216-485-2000 or visit OhioBusinessMachines.com. Very happy to have with us right now on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, a longtime friend in this business, and he works for NFL.com, NFL Network. I guess NFL Media is his title. He's just the king of all media.
No, that's right. Somebody else has that title.
Oh, okay. Well, you're right there. Michael
goes
Silver.
On the radio a lot.
Welcome.
I don't want him mad at me.
Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thanks, Vic. Thanks for having me.
So
cool to be here.
You've been hanging out and gathering. You're doing the hunting, gathering thing of material. You were here yesterday and today. So I want to start with this, because I remember watching a show. I can't remember one of the NFL Network shows. And you were just taking shots right at this club. You did not like the way they handled the whole Johnny Manziel thing from the start, where he was told by the owner of the team, act like a backup. That seemed to offend your senses in a big way. Where are you on that right now?
Yeah, I thought that was a disaster in terms of, the way it played to me was, we traded up to go get this guy, and we all know kind of that the swag accompanies the Johnny Manziel playing legend thus far.
Right.
And that's cool. You can like that or not like that, but it's not like it was a mystery. They went up and got him, and then to me it was as if they acted as though he were an affliction and had done something that made them mad. And I can understand an employer saying, hey, look, we want you to come in and be humble, which by all accounts he has, by the way.
Right.
But I would say what teams often say, coaches often say to their players, which is keep it out of the media. If you really feel the need to trade up, get Johnny Manziel and tell him to tone it down, don't do that publicly. Don't emasculate him publicly. And more important, I think the act like a backup thing is ridiculous. That's a really bad way to say it. My analogy was Russell Wilson 2 years ago. The Seahawks had far more invested in Matt Flynn than the Browns do in Hoyer. They'd given him $10 million guaranteed. He should have been considered the starter. They took Russell Wilson in the third round, not in the first. And nobody said to Russell, hey, man, you need to know your role. You need to come in and be a backup. Russell Wilson came in and acted like he was the starter, the way he commanded the huddle, the way he studied, the way he approached it in his mind. He and I have talked about this a lot. And lo and behold, there was a fair competition. He won the job, and certainly the Seahawks have benefited. So I think they've been fine since that early wave. And I know people read that and heard that and thought, oh, he's killing the Browns. I'm really excited about Ray Farmer. I've known about him for a long time. Right. I think he's got a chance to be an A-plus GM. I'm really excited about Mike Pettine. That could be a great kind of under-the-radar, out-of-the-box hire. The process that begat this was very messy, and the Browns deserve to be hammered for that, among many other things. But I think the end result could have been pretty good, and I think Manziel could also end up being pretty good.
Mike, you've just been out here for a couple of days now. What have you seen from Johnny Manziel and Brian Hoyer in this quarterback competition in your limited time? And I know today's practice wasn't really one, but yesterday Johnny was with the ones and he got a decent look.
Yeah, I wasn't really looking because I was just checking out LeBron the whole time, which is pretty awesome. Look, Brian Hoyer, love the guy, great story. I wrote about him leading into that Thursday night game last year. We were here for NFL Network. Yep. I was very excited. Tom Brady's told me about him for years. I really, really am into that. And I was so bummed when he went down, as a lot of people were, because things were going really well. So I'm really rooting for him. And I think if he ends up being the guy, it's really cool. And I think he's going to be a guy that you can win with. Johnny is going to be more eye-catching. There's no doubt about it. I know people, the mobility is what most people think of when they think of Johnny as a player. But to me, especially when you see it in person, the accuracy and the arm strength are both better than people understand. This is a guy who can really spin it and get it to precise spots. You throw in the mobility with that, that's a really, you know, the ceiling is very high. Now, what I worry about with him most of all is that he's not a big dude. So in other words, Cam Newton, Ben Roethlisberger, Andrew Luck, Colin Kaepernick, when these guys get outside and get blasted, those guys are monsters. Right. You know, I'm pretty sure they're going to be okay. Michael Vick, RG3, Johnny, that can take a toll. So I think the template is Russell Wilson, to come back to him. That's a guy who is very athletic and mobile, but uses his mobility so wisely, more like Fran Tarkenton, scrambles to throw most of the time, and then picks his spots and runs. And when Russell Wilson runs, he's more of an athlete than Fran Tarkenton was, and I think Johnny would be the same way. Like, when he tucks it down, you'll go, oh, that guy, he can really go. And Luck is very similar. He runs when he picks his spot. So if he can follow the Russell Wilson model playing style-wise, and certainly if he can follow the Luck Wilson model in terms of how to be mature beyond your years and approach the franchise quarterback thing. And by the way, not just Johnny, every single young quarterback's being held to that standard, and most will not meet it because it's you know, crazy.
Ridiculous.
But,
yeah.
But, you know, that's, to me, that's the model. Be Russell Wilson.
Mike Silver from NFL Media is joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Mike, bigger picture of the team, the feel for the team. You had a chance, I know, to sit down with Mike Pettine today. Mm-hmm. You've observed a couple of practices, but your thoughts on the moves they've made in the offseason beyond Johnny Manziel and how you see it all shaping up.
I like them. I've thought for a few years that there's more talent here than is generally presumed on the outside. I like bringing in Dansby and Whitner, though I'm a huge DeQuell Jackson fan, but those are two guys who live it, breathe it, have an edge to them that's going to permeate, and I think not only are they going to be good players, but that's going to really help bring an edge. Because I was with the Rams for the draft, I kind of got to see the draft from their perspective. They love Betonio. They wanted him. That's a good pick. I think the running back's really intriguing, and he and Tate will push each other, hopefully. And, you know, to me, if you get good quarterback play, they have a real chance. I think I would probably pick them to make the playoffs this year. That said, obviously the Josh Gordon thing is a potential calamity from a football perspective. Maybe a deal will get worked out. That would be my personal choice. But, you know, that's certainly not a sure bet. And, you know, and Jordan Cameron is an elite player who has a chance to take it to the next level. And then hopefully Burleson and Austin, who are good dudes, good guys to have on a team, will step it up. So I think there's a lot to be excited about. And I think either way it goes with Hoyer or Manziel, there's a lot to be excited about. I think if it's Manziel, there's going to be more potential for transcendent highs. But I think there's also going to be more potential for, you know, maddening lows. And that's, you know, that's not even a comment on him. That's any guy who has to play right away.
And Mike, you talked about Josh Gordon, the situation. You know, obviously a lot of people hope there is some type of a settlement. What do you think, though, kind of, A, what do you think the ultimate resolution will be? And B, what do you think of the way that it has been handled? The fact that this is going on now with no resolution in sight, just a quote-unquote reasonable time. And here we are with the Browns about to take the field for their preseason opener in 2 days and still no decision on what's actually happening.
Well, I'd rather see them take more time and get it right than rush it. This is a tough one for me. You know, a rule is a rule, and by the letter of the law, it seems to be a very cogent case to make from the league's perspective that he violated a rule. I think there's a very legitimate debate we could have, both as a football watching community and as a society, about where we want to go in an era where marijuana is legal in two states and It certainly can't be described as performance enhancing, at least not in football. Maybe if it's like a nacho eating contest, then you know you'd have to do something. So, so there's that, and then there's the, the technical side of it, which I think he has a real case in terms of A sample, B sample. They just raised the thresholds low still. That I think is worth debating. And certainly, though it's not how it's supposed to be, there are going to be people on the outside who understandably say, wait, Ray Rice has got two games and on videotape, apparently, for domestic assault. And you know, how are we weighing the two? And then there's the fourth thing. And then without even answering your question, I'll leave it with this. This is my number one thought. I just hope that it's very tempting for the paying customers to say, what an idiot. This guy is looking at tens of millions of dollars guaranteed. He's such a great player. How could you risk throwing it all away and put yourself in that position? And I understand when people say that. I just hope that when we talk about these things, we can start to do a little more of the same thing we justifiably did when Jimmy Irsay had his issue in Indy, which is he has a problem and he needs help, and that's more important. And let's get him some help, and then let's try to create a supportive system where it's treated more as a problem than what an idiot, that guy can't control himself. Because I don't see how Josh Gordon rationally would make right. those kinds of mistakes. So I hope when we talk about this, it's less flippant and it's more, let's find a way to support people if they have a problem, and let's try to, if as a league you believe that this is still unacceptable, this specific offense, let's try to create a program where it's a little bit more supportive.
Mike Silver is our guest, NFL Network, NFL.com. So, Mike, where else have you been so far, at least in terms of training camps, and then any kind of feel you have for just the rest of the league? What is jumping out at you at this point, storylines, whatever?
Well, I have a complete and accurate feel about the entire league. I know where each team will finish and specifically how they will do in every game. That's why when I make predictions, it's, you know, and also I'm biased against every single team that you might possibly root for secretly. So if I ever pick against them or rank them lower than you think, okay, it's because I hate them. I started
That's
out
some of your Twitter coming through right there. I enjoy that. Love that.
It's Twitter snark.
It's a Twitch show. I was out west. I saw the Seahawks and Broncos. I saw the Niners. I saw the Cowboys, who are a West Coast team for training camp purposes. Yeah. Then I went to Green Bay, and they decided to announce that Brett Favre was coming back to the family. And I thought, wow, how fortuitous. I was here that day. Today, I walked out, and the greatest basketball player on earth walked right by me and went to check out practice. So when I show up at Bills camp in a couple of days, other than Vic Carucci coming back, I don't
it's
know.
It's going to be tough to match.
I mean, maybe Jim Kelly will get some great medical news, which would obviously
would be awesome.
The best of all.
Yes.
I think that I'm always intrigued by new coaches, so I'm glad I'm here. I'm always intrigued by young quarterbacks who've got swag. So this is, make no mistake, this is a buzz team. And I know you can tell by who's coming through. You know, I saw Freeman was just through.
Everybody.
I think everybody's coming. And
everybody's been
and
going.
Good. Good for Cleveland. Good for the Browns. And as somebody told me today, I think it was Ray Farmer, you know, let's have the buzz be because we also are
winning
games on the field. Let's let the buzz from the offseason translate to a buzz during the fall.
Does some of that buzz to you also emanate from Kyle Shanahan being the offensive coordinator?
For me, it does. I don't know if the outsiders have put that together, but you know, if you look at the work he did year one with RG3 when he was healthy, it wasn't just that RG3 was playing at a very high level, which he was, but that was revolutionary in the same way that Chip Kelly is getting love for what he did last year. I think Kyle, probably even on a higher level, had come up with something the year before that is now the rest of the league is having to contend with. He's aggressive. He calls plays the way his personality is, which is straight out aggressive, coming at you, not shy. And that's why I like him as a person, and it's why I like him as a coordinator. Now, I'm sure it would be nice if Kyle had gone from after last year's debacle if he'd slid into, hey, your new quarterback is Tom Brady, you know, and, as opposed to either a guy who's started three games or started none. But, you know, that's why he makes the big bucks. Yes. So to answer your question more succinctly, yes, that is part of the buzz for me.
You talked earlier about the Browns taking a rather circuitous route to get to this point with the head coach and the GM in Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer, and it has been, you know, a very untraditional and unfortunately unsuccessful path up until this point. But you sense the optimism around them. I know you got to speak with both of them in the last 2 days. What are just your impressions of what they're doing now that they truly are on the job?
Well, for one thing, as Joe Thomas put it to me, you know, I've been through this a lot, but this wasn't a complete teardown. Like, he's taking solace in that. They changed everything. You know, they changed the people in those jobs, but they didn't change defensive philosophies. They didn't change there wasn't massive roster overhaul. And he feels like it, in some ways they kept some continuity. It's my favorite word because I clowned Joe Banner for that in real time on the NFL Network desk during his press conference when he said, I would ask that you judge us on our track record, to which I said on TV, dude, this is your track record. Apparently Jimmy Haslam felt similarly. I think Ray Farmer has a chance to be a rock star. I was rooting for the guy to get a GM job the year before when we had that as a league, I would say, just an embarrassing 0-12 on the minority hiring front, hiring cycle. And I thought that was a shame. So however it happened, I wouldn't have drawn it up this way, but I think that's he's one of these young guys like Jason Light in Tampa, like we've seen with Thomas Dimitroff and Steve Keim, guys who are now getting lots of love. There's been this wave of young guys who are really, really respected in the scouting community for not just being smart guys, but really understanding talent. And so that has a chance to be an A+. And I like the way Ray carries himself. He's not, he's not overcome with trepidation. He's going to go do it the way he wants to.
And he's not full of himself. You know, right. He's very, very down to earth.
Look at the staff
guy
he's assembled. I mean, so many veteran voices in that scouting department.
He's so secure. You're bringing in all these guys with much more years and people. And there's a loyalty factor here. People who were good
to him. Does he just want to be the youngest looking guy in the room?
That could be part of the deal, too. But I just think that makes a statement.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I don't know how Pettine will be as a head coach, and we often don't when coordinators get promoted. You know, I know in football circles he's super highly regarded, and fans probably were like, "They're hiring who? Like, how do you say his name?" But you know, and say what you will about Rex Ryan as a head coach, there's been good and bad, but certainly the Rex Ryan strategy tree is a wonderful thing to pluck from.
Mike, terrific. We really appreciate you taking the time, and safe travels. And,
all right, remember all this optimism if I have to, you know, bring.
Yeah, you'll bring the hammer. I see the hammer's right under your desk right here.
I'm trying to put it away. Hey, believe me, and I will say this to Brown fans because I get accused of hating the Browns and their fans. I am a Cal guy. There is nobody who has more sympathy or empathy for you Browns fans than somebody who has no Rose Bowls in my lifetime. We could call Memorial Stadium the Factory of Sadness out in Berkeley, and my daughter's going there in 3 weeks, so the cycle continues in my family, and it's horrible, and it's sad, and when we finally win the conference and go to the Rose Bowl, it's going to be glorious, and so I feel your pain, and I want good things to happen.
So Alex Mack's your guy?
Alex understands, Mitchell Schwartz understands, Scott Fujita understands. Right. Believe me, it's we are hearty souls, and we're doing our best.
So what we'll do is we'll revisit this. I'm just double checking the date here.
November.
November 6th at Cincinnati, Thursday Night Football. That's when we'll revisit.
Maybe this. I don't know. Thursday night's all weird now. I have a feeling that if Mr. Manziel ends up starting, and if Mr. James and Mr. Drake, I don't know if that's right, but if all those guys start coming around, I'll probably have to come around too. So I hope I see you before that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you again, Mike. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Mike Silver, check out his great work at NFL.com and, of course, on the NFL Network. We've got much more coming up. We're going to have some sound. We'll play the press conference of Mike Pettine following today's practice. That is coming up next on Cleveland Browns Daily Driven by Liberty Ford. But where's the light that you found on the other side of nothing? What did
Want another reason to love your hometown tire and service team? How about 45 of them? It's Conrad's 45th anniversary.